Okay. Thank you, Linda. Thank you, Worship Leader. And good evening, everyone in the room and also online. You know, last week, as we all know, was Valentine's Day, February 14th. And so I've been reflecting a lot on the messages of love, friendship, and kindness, and what that means in a world that seems increasingly divided, a world that seems sort of increasingly angry, hurt, and desperate. And I know that trying to solve the world's problems can be overwhelming. And yet God often reminds me that I have more influence than I realize to ease the suffering of others through just my own acts of compassion or forgiveness or kindness. And I want to share a couple stories about how kindness has impacted me in my life. And then I found three stories online. There are a lot of stories online, by the way, about partly about stories of kindness and how they affected others in a very positive way. And if you're ever in a place where you're maybe feeling a little bit down or you need that kind of sense of hope or inspiration, I'll just encourage you, you could just start Googling stories of kindness. And it does kind of lift up the soul to see how many other people out there have experienced or given very small acts of kindness that have made such a difference. One example, the kind of first example that came to me when I was putting my thoughts together for tonight, this happened last year. It was around fall, in the fall of last year. And I remember pulling into a gas station to fill my car up with gas. And for those of you that don't know, I know not everyone here is in or lives in Oregon. Oregon, they will pump your gas for you. So if you don't live in Oregon, you might be thinking, why the heck was someone else pumping the gas? This is very common in Oregon. So I pulled into the gas station, and the young man who was doing all of the cars, pumping the gas for all of the cars, he had on like a t-shirt that had very offensive language on it, language which I would not repeat here in this setting. And his attitude, he just looked like he was miserable and pretty kind of upset with the world, angry with the world. He took his time coming to help me. He was clearly taking his time helping everybody else around me. I had kind of a, kind of angry, upset look on his face, almost like inviting, like, what are you going to say? Like, does anyone want to go there and challenge me? And I could feel all these thoughts going through my head. And without, of course, thinking about it, the judgments going racing through my head about this young man. And something suddenly just inspired me to give him the Starbucks card that I happened to have. I had $10 left on it. And I knew I had it in my purse. And so when he came to give me the receipt for having pumped the gas, I said, would you like to have the Starbucks card? It has about $10 left in it. His whole face lit up and he smiled. And then he kind of chatted a little bit. I don't even quite remember what we chatted about, maybe the weather or something. It was always raining or something. But his whole, like, he's kind of stood up like this. He was straight. His whole face changed. And I felt better. And as I drove off, I can't say how it affected him, only he can say. But at least from the time I was driving off, I could see in the rearview mirror that he was still smiling. And I remember thinking to myself, maybe that's really the only thing we can still offer each other, given how crazy the world is. Just those moments of showing some kindness and compassion, a kind word, rather than, when I think about all the things going on in the world, I can feel really overwhelmed by them. And it's just like a reminder to me that something as small as that If we all did something like that, I'm including myself in this, I'm guilty of not doing this all the time. What a difference we actually could make in the people in our lives, the people that God brings us. And share one more story. This is not a story about me, but it's a story that was shared with me by a woman when I lived in Austin, Texas, that has really stayed with me. This woman was from England originally, so she had a beautiful British accent, and so I can't reproduce it, but some of the words she used make sense knowing that she came from England. And she was living in Austin, Texas. That's where I met her. And she told me that she went through a pretty dark time earlier when she was still in England. She wasn't married, but I think she was either engaged or in a very serious relationship. And quite unexpectedly, from her perspective, the fiance, the man, just dumped her, just left her life. And this really, really devastated her. And she also lost her job at the same time. And she said she just felt very, just in a very down place, very depressed. What's the point? And it came to her one day that what she was going to do, at least the words she used, that she was going to do one good turn a day, which sounded lovely in her accent. One good turn a day, which meant, of course, that she was going to look for some opportunity every day to do a kind thing for at least one person every day. And she talked about how over the course of a year, this changed her life. It changed her focus from being inward to being outward. So when she went out in the day to look for a job, to get her groceries, she was looking for this opportunity to do a good turn for someone. And that alone really shifted her focus and her energy. And she had all these delightful little stories, but one story really stuck with me. This was maybe, she said, like 6 months into her doing this, doing a good turn every day, where she had met someone, then met someone else, by doing good turns. And they met this guy who worked at a community center that offered a lot of community classes, like in pottery or learn how to speak Spanish, just light community classes, but they cost money. And he needed some help with some computer work that she happened to know. So she said, I'll do this for you for free. And he was so startled by this that she was willing to do it for free, because in her mind, that's her good turn for the day. That he then, because he and she didn't know it at the time, but he had the ability to give her a free pass. She could take whatever classes she wanted through this community center for 1 year. And that changed her. She met all these people and eventually found a job and eventually found a new man, not that, but all these things kind of came to her. But that was just that was such a lovely story that I've often thought about that doing one good turn a day can really change us. So I found a couple of three. There's tons of them, but I found three stories I wanted to share with you about acts of kindness. These come from NPR's My Unsung Hero series. NPR is standing for National Public Radio, so it comes from the radio program, NPR's My Unsung Hero series, which is a series about people whose kindness has left a lasting impression on someone else. So here's the first story. In 2012, Laura Eshelman was in the middle of a mental health spiral. The love of her life had just dumped her, and she was struggling with an eating disorder. And to top it off, she was having trouble finding work. I was leaving downtown business where I had yet another job application rejected. I was feeling pretty down and decided to go to the grocery store across the street, Eshelman said. As she crossed the street, Eshelman noticed a man asking for money on the corner. His unkempt hair and clothing made it seem like he'd been living outside for a while. She watched as he asked a passerby for change but was ignored. As I approached, he turned his attention to me. and again asked if he could have a little bit of money. I don't remember what my response was to him, and I'm glad that I don't remember, because what I do recall is that whatever I said was very unkind and harsh, something to the tune of, "Leave me the hell alone. I don't have anything to give you. Just bug off." Eshelman continued into the grocery store, but as she perused the aisles, she noticed herself feeling distracted and rattled. I couldn't quite put my finger on it until the realization of how rude and awful I had been to this person hit me. Eshelman said, "I remember thinking, what the hell have you become? Who are you?" Eshelman left her groceries behind and rushed outside to find the man, who was still on the street corner. I hustled over to him, began apologizing profusely, and dug out some change that had, of course, been at the bottom of my pocket the whole time, Eshelman said. As she handed him the change, the man took her hand in both of his. She remembers them as large and rough, and he just said, "It's gonna be okay." And for the first time in a long time, I felt like somebody was seeing my own pain, and I started to cry. Eshelman and the man stood together for a few moments before parting ways. She never saw him again. If he were here right now, I would love to be able to tell him that that moment on the street was one of the few glimmers of hope in that extremely dark period of my life. And I think what I love about that story so much is how simple that act was. And it was coming from someone that we don't necessarily think, you know, is in a place to show kindness. But that was exactly what she needed. In fact, it sounds like she needed that more from him. Maybe it was equal, but then he needed the money from her. And I thought that was a very sweet story. And so here's another story. It was the fall of 1972, and 15-year-old Bill Price was attending a reunion for a summer program he'd taken part in a few months before. He remembers standing outside at the end of the day, catching up with friends. Eventually, all of his friends said their goodbyes, leaving Price standing by himself. "Sometimes when you're alone, it's okay," Price said, "but sometimes when you're alone, you feel really bereft and abandoned, and that's the way I felt then." Nearby, another group of teenagers stood laughing and talking. "I found myself wishing so much to be part of that group," Price remembered. One of the people in the group was a person named Wendy Westman. She and Price had only met in passing at the summer program a few months earlier. As Price stood there feeling increasingly lonely, Westman turned around and asked him if he'd like to join her group. "My life was transformed in that moment," Price said. Westman reaching out sparked a realization in Price. He could offer that same kindness to anyone at any time. It's so easy to see someone who seems left out and alone and notice them, say hello to them, be kind to them, Price explained. And my realization was that that is a gift that we can all give. Price went on to become a psychiatrist. A primary part of his job is being kind to his patients, listening to them and being attentive to their needs. Price attributes his understanding of the importance of kindness to that moment when he was 15 years old. "To the extent that I'm a good person in my life today, it's probably due to Wendy Westman inviting me to join her group," he said. And here's a third one, the last one. This took place in Portland, Oregon. So that's why I decided there are so many to choose from, but I chose this one as the last one. In 2010, Justin Horner was driving down a busy freeway in Portland, Oregon, when his tire blew out. He pulled over to the side of the road and made a sign that said he needed help. 3 hours later, a van finally pulled up. Out came a family of four. They were Latino, and their young daughter acted as a translator between her parents' Spanish and Horner's English so that they could work together to fix Horner's car. They took about an hour, starting with the father finding a log on the side of the road and using it to lift up the car. When they finished, the mom pulled out a big jug of water, and they drank and washed their hands. I just thanked them, thanked them, thanked them, one of the calls. And I tried to give her money. I only had a $20 bill, and I just thought, you know, it's the least I could do. And she just wouldn't take it. But Horner was adamant and eventually put the money in her hand and walked away. Then he heard their small daughter call out to ask Horner if he was hungry. Indeed, he was. And she came over with a tamale from their cooler. They exchanged thank yous. She got into the van, and the family started to drive away. As they're trying to get back into traffic, I unwrapped the tamale, and my money is in the tamale, Horner said. They had unwrapped the tamale and put the $20 in, and then they wrapped it back up. Horner immediately ran over to the van, which was starting to pull into traffic, to get the father's attention. He rolls down the window. He sees me coming. He's just shaking his head. And I keep saying, like, please, please, por favor, I'm holding a bill out, Horner remembered. And he just kind of puts his hand up, and he just says, with this big smile on his face, today you, tomorrow me. The man then gave Horner a wave, rolled up the window, and drove off. The last thing Horner saw was the young girl waving goodbye through the window. He never saw them again. Horner knows that the phrase, today you, tomorrow me, wasn't invented by that stranger. He says it's a common expression in Mexico where he believes the family was from. But its sentiment is universal. And on many corners of the internet, it's become a kind of shorthand for empathy. So I loved those three stories. And there were a lot more that I found that sort of renewed a sense of hope or a sense of peace within me, that I too can look for opportunities to do a good turn every day. And it does not have to be huge, doesn't have to even cost money. So I hope these stories of kindness inspire each of us to remember that even when everything seems to be falling apart around us, that we can still bring light and hope to others through simply being kind. So may God's blessings be with each of us today and throughout the rest of the week. Amen.
Amen.